Thank you, Chairman. Prior to move to the Q&A session, I would like to point out that for the time being, the following professionals have asked the question that I will be putting to top management in the next few minutes: Javier Garrido from JPMorgan, Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs, Rob Pulleyn, Morgan Stanley, Harry Wyburd, Bank of America, Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada, Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital Markets, Fernando Lafuente, Alantra Equities, Jorge Alonso, Societe Generale, and finally, Ahmed Farman from Jefferies. The first question is the following: Is the non-recurring low hydro nuclear win included in the guidance 4 billion-4.2 billion euros? Does it include CIP, U.S. pension, or social tariffs impact?
Well, of course, all those things has already happened is included. I think I mentioned that we have already had an impact of 370 million, Pepe mentioned on the, first quarter of, because of all this condition, and that is included in our projection, of course. Yes. Of course, as well is included whatever another thing which is already happening across the year, at this point of pension or whatever as well is included. Yes.
Second question: What is your estimate for EBITDA in 2022? Consensus is at levels of 12.2 billion. Are you comfortable with this figure? Given Q1 results and the expected evolution of the business, it seems that the 12.2 billion could be a conservative figure.
Well, we are comfortable with these numbers. Probably the numbers we are already expecting is slightly higher than those ones.
Third question: How should we think about the direct and indirect impact on Iberdrola from any material disruption in Russia gas supplies?
We are not at all exposed to imports for Russian gas. Our production and generation of gas in Europe is minimal. We don't expect significant impact in costs due to our hedges in our chain of interest rates as well. Most of our result, as I mentioned, was protected from inflation. I think to give you an example, I think we just received a review of the Brazilian Coelba and CELPE tariffs, which are already increases of the range of 13%-14%, which I think is more than reflecting the inflation. I think that is a good example how is already in our business. Same with the production. Almost 100% of our production available for 2022 is sold, and almost 80% of 2023. I think the point is that nobody knows what is going to happen with inflation in the future. But I think if inflation persists, I think certain in the case of renewables, I think that will be reflected in the future prices of the PPAs we will sign. Also our procurement policies, as I mentioned, for 2022 are already fixed or closed or hedged in advance. I think we are not expecting that one. I think in the future if that change, as well I mentioned, that will be already passed to the contract of our customer who will pass. Also, as Pepe mentioned, 80% of our debt is already at fixed rates. I think potential increases in interest rates, I think we are not already affected because we are long-term and fixed rates.
Probably the next two questions are the questions of this event and has been asked with several specificities and from a large list of professionals. I will ask it in a general way, and the remaining details will be answered, please, from the IR department. First one is: What is the expected impact of Iberdrola on Iberdrola of the Spanish gas price cap for power generation? And the second one, number five, if do you expect the introduction of a carbon clawback? Do you expect the extension of gas clawback, and how could this impact in your accounts?
Well, I think the first thing, I think we are aware that this is the problem in Europe of prices. I think that is common in the whole European Union. I think it exists, a problem of prices due to the gas prices, due to the fossil fuels. Spain is no different. Prices, I have to say, in the liberalized market in Spain are lower than the most of Europe due to a better mix than we have already in the country, thanks to the massive renewable in the country. And that, I think you can check already those numbers in Eurostat, which I think is already published. I think the unique characteristic of the Spanish market is a regulated tariff, as I mentioned before, with a wrong design that is affected by the spot price volatility. But I think that is only affecting almost 10% of the energy sold in the country. I think the easy solution, in my opinion, and I think I'm not ready, I give my opinion, as you know, I'm very straightforward, will be to move in the same line with other European Union countries, linked regulated tariff to a basket of forward prices. I think if we take already an average of the forward prices, which is published today, of 2022, 2023, 2024 forward prices, the effect will be the same one than this already being already presented by the government. So I think, of course, we need already to know the details of this the terms of this agreement, because still is already what I read is still is not already completed all the terms. So in the moment that will be completed, we can already make an analysis. But I think we are not expecting impact in Iberdrola. So I think the situation is today the extraordinary margins, with the, if there are any in this moment, is are in gas, not in electricity, as you can see in our result. We just need to see the difference between Spanish gas prices and the in the border and the TTF market. So I think you can see the result of oil and gas companies are booming, not electricity companies are booming prices. So that's why we maintain our guidance to 4 to 4.2 billion. You have to know as well that Spain, as I mentioned, is less than one third of our result, and more than 50% of these results are regulated. So I think the effect on that one, in any case, are marginal in our total results. In terms of the clawback, I think is we have to know all these things, because I think it's one or another one. I think it's a package. We don't know exactly what is the terms, final terms of all those things. So the only thing I can know is that this clawback is still remaining in the Parliament, but I imagine they're going to make a global package with all these measures, and I don't know what is going to make with this particular point.
Question number six is what is your view on PPA prices for renewables in the main countries where you operate? Are you seeing an structural increase prices? If so, can you give an indication of the magnitude?
In the last months, we have seen an increase in PPA prices in most markets. I think it's true then as well is we have higher costs, higher capex. I think is, but I think there is certain interrelation between the increases in capex and the increases in the PPA's prices we are signing. I can say as well that the customers has more appetite to take fixed prices than they had in the past. So I think today, as I was mentioning before, these prices, they can obtain these fixed prices, long-term fixed prices, are far below the spot market prices. So I think I can say, for instance, in Spain, the fixed prices we are providing in some cases is 50% or close to 50% lower than those which are in the spot one. Unfortunately, and that is our problem in some countries, is that we have not more energy available to be sold at, for 2022. I think I'll be delighted to have more energy available to sign more long-term contracts with that one, but I think all has been sold. And I think those customers are benefiting already of the lower cost of certain of our technologies. It's true that part of those, I think, we are not 100% of the time generating with renewable. We have already to produce or to buy electricity generated with gas, or buy electricity with gas, as Pepe mentioned. We have already this negative effect. But I think it's... we are convinced that it's needed to create incentives for signing more long-term contracts and PPAs instead of extending volatility of spot market prices in the whole market. I think if that will give a great incentive for investing more in renewable without being expecting already auctions, what you see, many of those auctions has not been built. So I think, as I mentioned before, in Spain has been already awarded 16,000 megawatt of auctions, and only 6,000 has been built at present. And the reason there are many, not only a question of permit, as well as a question of funding and financing all those projects. So I think that's why I think regulatory stability, which I'm always insisting on that one, are crucial. I think if we need to invest heavily in this sector, if we would like to make this energy transition and to become more self-sufficient, stability, predictability, rule of law are crucial for already make that happen. And that is something which I will insist, I've been insisting for a long time, I will continue insisting.
We have a couple of questions regarding the nuclear business or the nuclear production. The first one is, what is your view on the role of on nuclear in Spain, and would Iberdrola regard potential extension of nuclear lifespans as an opportunity?
So I think perhaps the first reflection, and it's not mine, is from one of the European leaders. So the situation that we are seeing and we are living today has already proven that self-sufficiency in Europe is crucial. America, United States, 20 or 25 years ago, decided to become fully self-sufficient in their energy. And they invest in shale oil, shale gas, in renewables, and now they are already exporting, not only not importing, but they are exporting part of their production to Europe. So Europe needs already to make already this plan, and they are already, that's why I was mentioned, the Fit for 55 is a good tool for becoming Europe fit for self-sufficiency. So the main resources we have in Europe are renewables and nuclear is the only one available. The development of nuclear depends on the energy policy in each country. I think it's a question of energy policy. Some countries decide to take this route, another country decide to take another one. I think in the case of Spain, has already decided to bet on renewables with a progressive and orderly closure of nuclear. So I have to say that, and I think that is what is the policy, and I think we accept this policy. Our nuclear power plant, nevertheless, are ready to operate as long as they are needed, but I think that will require extra investment and extra costs, that in case the policy change, these extra costs have to be already have planned to be recovered in any other technology.
The second question regarding nuclear is related to Cofrentes and the recent incident and the cost of it.
So, as Pepe mentioned, was an unplanned outage. I think I have to say the availability of Spanish nuclear plant, our nuclear power plant, are extremely good. So I think is we have already a level of availability much higher than average of another power plant, nuclear power plant in other countries. But I think time to time, something like those won't happen. I think is we have already solved, and the last incident we have already in this moment is already just coming back to work the power plant, and I think is this kind of small incidents are already in most cases are already in our budget, because we know there is no 100% availability. Sometimes it's already happened something like those things, but the point is, in the moment it happened, it already has already an impact, and I think that was the case. But I think I have to say that the availability of our nuclear power plant in Spanish nuclear plant, our own and another one as well, are already benchmarking most compared with another countries.
Next question is, what is the estimate impact of the U.S. government proof on solar panel imports? How many capacity addition could be delayed? How many months of inventories do we have?
So far, we have a very small impact in the United States and because of this regulatory restriction of tenure component. I think if my memory doesn't fail, I think we have around 300 megawatt with PV which can be affected. But I think, as I heard, is the decision moving in the right direction. Most of them are already is not in for 2022. I think it's for 2023. I think Ignacio, you can already clarify those things in detail. But my memory is not already precisely in this one. But I think my message is little impact or no impact in our case. not in 2022, and something in 2023 for an amount which can be 300 megawatts in a total of thousands that we are installing in the country in another technologies in the United States. I think those are the main terms. So we have not already seen. It's not something which is affecting to ourselves, but I think, Ignacio, you can provide more detail. But I think my mind is not in 2022, and if there's something will be in a small scale, something 300, 250, 300 megawatt in 2023, which can be affected. It's not in the long term, because our solar, you know, our bet in the United States is offshore, offshore, offshore. So what we have more of our investment addressed to offshore is where is not already PV our main drive for growth in the United States.
Next question is related to the European Union policy, and can you accelerate renewables development due to the permitting changes of the Repower EU plan? Would this still be possible despite supply chain constraints?
Well, I've been for years already predicating in the European Union in different countries the need of modifying the permitting process. I think probably I've already heard to me during those years that it has no sense that to build a new power plant takes less than a year, and to obtain the paperwork and for the permits, it takes 5, 6, or 7 years. So now either the European Commission and most European countries are already aware of that one, and they are already just trying to look for solution for how to avoid these bottlenecks. I heard the European Commission is planning to publish in May some guidelines how to make that one, but I think in most countries, as I mentioned already, is already just becoming more ambitious in terms of the, especially Germany and France and Britain as well, in terms of how much of their energy will come from renewables, and all of them, they are already trying to modify the legislation for making already to be more agile on that one. I think in the case of Spain has been announced as well to modify the rules for a project up to 75 megawatt for wind and 150 megawatt for solar PV as well, for making that one, for avoiding certain of the processes to make that more rapidly. I think that is positive for Iberdrola globally. In the case of Spain, is positive for giving us the opportunity of hybridize certain our existing power plant, and that will increase our pipeline with because of all those things.
Next question is the number 11, and is regarding the inflationary situation. What is your view about the inflationary pressures in turbines and panels? By how much CapEx megawatts could increase for projects in 2024-2025? And regarding the business network business, is Iberdrola feeling inflationary pressures in raw materials or construction costs? How rapidly can those be passed to the RAB?
So, as I mentioned before, most of our operating result is protected from inflation. So I think it's because in some cases revenues increase with inflation in different businesses. That is the case I mentioned before about Brazil, the recent review of tariffs, which increases of 13-14% in tariffs. In another cases, in renewables, there are PPAs or CFDs, which are linked to inflation, with certain reviews of inflation, which I think is already from the very beginning. As I mentioned as well, if in revenues the inflation persists, I think we will that increase our capex, and that will pass transfer to the future prices, and that is what is happening. As I mentioned, the new PPAs are already increasing that one toward what they were before. But I think I have to say that for 2022, our purchases are secured with prices or hedge in advance, so I think that is not already affecting. And also, as I mentioned, and Pepe mentioned as well, in terms of the, one of the potential effects of inflation is the increase in interest rates. And 80% of our total our debt is already a fixed rates, long term, and fixed rate. So as well, that is, we are protected in this one. You know, we have already had always, you've been sometimes criticizing the one-to-one, and already with you, then we are too conservative. We are always trying to, we are not much aggressive in our expectation. We always maintain a conservative approach. And that is what is already happening. We have fixed rate, long term. We are already business, already hedged for inflation, or hedged for rate for FX. I think that's been already our strategy. So we are investing for long term. Our investment are standing for 30, 40, 50 years. So one of our key material is the cost of capital, and I think we don't like to have already surprised on that one. That's why we are making already these fixed rates, long-term fixed rate. Same thing with the purchase. I think I remind you that in 2020 we make orders for almost 3 years to our customers, to our suppliers, not only for protecting about what is going to happen, because we don't know that is going to happen, what is happening, just to help themselves to keep already the supply chains already in operation when everybody was already closing, or they were already in a difficult situation. And I think we are benefiting as well of that one. Because we passed this order, they hedge already the raw material, and we are benefiting of this, of the orders we passed already with 2 years in advance.
About Avangrid, there have been a lot of management changes in Avangrid in the last 12 months, including the CEO. What has driven the changes? Is Avangrid moving into a different strategy?
Well, I think Dennis Arriola took his decision. I think now we are more than glad to have Pedro Azagra on board. He knows the business and is fully aligned with our model. And I think we will continue with our strategy. I think the rotation is not negative. Sometimes it can be very positive. So, which I think is when you are already in a company, it's the result of mergers of different companies in a short period of time. It's normal they have a certain number of rotation of people. But I think I'm very happy with the existing team, and I'm sure that Pedro is going to do a great job because he knows the business very well. Has been the father of all those mergers, and I think he knows the people. They are better than nobody. I'm sure then he's going to be a great CEO of Avangrid.
About Mexico operations, can you update us on the impact of the recent regulatory and political development in Mexico? What is the outlook for your Mexican business in the next 3 years?
So, as I mentioned, constitutional reform was rejected by the Congress. So it's electricity law, as I mentioned as well, that some aspects were declaring constitutional, and others left to case-by-case decision by judges. I can say that our operational performance is normal. Our plan is working with properly load factor close to over 80%. And nothing is what I can say. And I think we maintain our investment, what I mentioned, in line with what we mentioned, which is already very, very little in the next few years.
Last question, after 60 minutes of presentation, is Iberdrola is accelerating renewables in Australia, recent pipeline acquisition of 1 gigawatt. Can you provide some color on that market that makes the company to be so optimistic? PPA prices, tender prices, economy of scale with current assets?
So we are fully committed with Australia. For the same reason that led us to invest in the country. So our project there is progressing very well. I think, for instance, Port Augusta, which is just almost completed. So Australia has a very attractive regulation. It's a country, a rating country. We have a great team there who knows very well the country, and they know very well what to do. There are a lot of opportunities in another sector, not only renewable, but as well in transmission in the next few years. They are already saying the United States is already a growing demand for the citizen and the different Australian state to decarbonize their economy. And I think all those one is the reason why we would like to be present. It's a serious country, is a country with a rating. We have a good team, there are great expectations, and the business we are making there is already giving a good return, and we are already succeeding in our project and what we are already in this moment in construction. So that's why I think is the reason why we are there. The same reason why we were already in the United States 20 years ago. So it's a serious country, solid, good, stable regulation, growth prospects, and that is, that's why we are there.
Okay, now please let me now give the floor to Mr. Galán to conclude this event.
So, thank you very much once again for taking part in this conference call. So as I mentioned before, our investor relations team, led by Ignacio, will be available for any additional information you may require. If there any of the numbers or figures with my memory fail, he will be more than ready to provide you the details, which I know is not in my mind. Thank you very much, and I hope to see you soon. Thank you. Bye.